Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Mike Costantino is sitting across from me. He looks like he's sitting there anyway.
But Harriet Young is also here.
Yeah, she's on the phone, though. She's calling
in. Oh, that's right.
And we're going to be talking to her on the phone. So who is Harriet Young? We're starting our series, folks, on the war on women today. That's what we're calling it. And Harriet's our first interview.
Yeah, Harriet has a PhD from Rice. She is, I suppose we should say, first up, she's acting chair of the Democratic Party in Arizona.
Actually, it's standing chair. She's actually the chairman now.
I see.
Because she was the first vice chairman. We've never been chairman of anything, but
no, right here we. Yeah,
but she
we
has
in
yeah.
a chair, and we are men, and that's about as far as we can go. She has taught political science at Northern Arizona University, my alma mater of at least 2 degrees. She worked for LBJ. She has written wrote her dissertation on civil rights. And welcome, Harriet. Tell us a little more about yourself.
Well, right now I'm not teaching and miss the classroom, but I'm very engaged in the elections, obviously, and have worked really hard up here in Coconino County for over 10 years, building a party here and getting people elected, and we've had a little bit of success up here.
Well, we're doing Harriet Young. You just got an award from an organization I admire greatly.
I did, and I'm so excited about it. I was honored by Planned Parenthood for my work in helping to get pro-choice candidates to run for office and to win. So to me, that is a very high honor indeed, and I think of Planned Parenthood as the epitome of the logic of letting women manage their own lives.
Yeah, what we'd like to do is for women, control of reproduction is really political freedom, right?
I mean,
if you can't control reproduction, or the beginning in the 60s, women begin to be able to control reproduction for themselves. And that changes everything, or starts to change everything. It starts out controversy, and so we see echoes of it in the modern Republican Party. So when these things break out, and we'll talk about how the latest controversy broke out, there's an underlying, you know, women should go back into the home and so forth and so on. Is that fair?
That's fair, and yet I want to make one other point. Giving women the right to decide on their own reproductive freedom also means they have the freedom not to use contraception, to listen to the Catholic Church or whatever religious doctrine they want to follow, and it leaves them free to use their own religious conscience. But those of us who do not agree with that doctrine, who do not follow that church, are free to make our own decisions based on our own morals and based on our own standards. And frankly, I will make my own decisions rather than defer to the Catholic Conference of Bishops.
Yes, and both Mike and I were raised Catholic.
Me too.
And so all three of us
are
Catholic.
Yeah, it does
something, doesn't it? Yeah. How did this whole thing start? It starts over contraception, but no one was making anybody use contraception.
Correct.
It was health care, and they wrote an exception, the new health care law.
Yes.
Made a ruling that, you know, Catholic institutions, a church and stuff, have to provide health care coverage. But larger institutions which are affiliated with church, like a university,
right,
did have to provide coverage. That's how the conflict started. And for those of you who haven't been to Catholic institutions or hospitals and stuff, they're filled with non-Catholics,
yes,
as well as Catholics.
Yes, and it's patients, nurses, doctors, medical technology. The hospitals nowadays have just hundreds and hundreds of auxiliary staffers. And none of these people is given a religious test. And so you may hire people from any kind of background. And these are highly trained technical people. And if a lot of them are women. And my argument has been, can you imagine a highly trained woman who's looking for a job as a radiologist going to a Catholic institution of any kind, and they say, well, you know, we're not going to cover your contraceptive costs through our insurance. You'll have to deal with the insurance company yourself. Or say, we won't cover any kind of contraceptive costs.
Isn't
you're not going to work there. You will go on. And it will cause enormous economic damage to Catholic institutions.
Sure, they're going
to
lose high quality people. But
yeah,
isn't there some backlash? We're talking about a war on women, and we're talking about one battle is contraception.
Yeah.
But they're redefining rape. We're denying basic health care, which is reproductive health care to women.
Yes. And who benefits from that? Tell me what group of people actually does better when poor people, in particular, poor women, can't afford to buy their own? This is Rush Limbaugh's thing. Well, if you want to have sex, then you have to buy your own contraception. So the argument is women either quit having sex or have babies. If you're going to have sex, you must have babies. Now, who made that decision and who said that poor people have to bear that burden? Because rich women do fine. We always have.
One of my questions is I don't, and maybe I just haven't been paying attention, and you're going to tell me. I don't see the outrage. I'm looking for the women.
Oh,
they
for God's
the,
sake,
the,
you
the
haven't
law
been talking to me.
Go ahead.
And you haven't been talking to the 200 women and men who sat there Thursday night at the Planned Parenthood reception while I said a good part of what I'm saying to you tonight, and were up in the, you know, out of their seats yelling, damn right. So, no, there is outrage. It is everywhere. You just need to go, you know, go hang out with some women around a coffee.
But is that outrage going to be politically engaged? I mean,
I'm on the radio. You bet it will be. You better believe it will be. And the women who talk to each other, I was at a very polite, gentle ladies' luncheon yesterday for a bride, and the topic turned to all of this, and that very polite lunch turned into, who do they think they are? Who do they think they are?
They want to cut down women's choices and return to a world that barely existed. And Mike and I were talking, most men cannot support a family on their own anymore. That the time where a man would get a job in the auto plant and be able to send his kids to college, that's gone. It's been two family incomes now for decade after decade.
Yeah.
And to try to force women out of the, make it difficult for them to be in the workforce, it just seems particularly cruel. It'll push more people into poverty. They'll have less. There'll be more social problems, whatever.
Yeah. The economic side of it is what's interesting, because in the 70s, after Roe v. Wade, there was a meeting between Paul Weyrich, Pat Robertson, and Richard Viguerie, who are all leftovers from the Goldwater campaign. And they realized that there were not enough middle-class and working-class people to elect a small government, low-tax, no social program, which is the old conservative. And I'm distinguishing between conservative and Republican. The conservatives have now taken over the Republican. But at the beginning, they were two different movements. It came out of the Goldwater campaign. There were people who were like the John Birchers in California, our friends the Kochs in Kansas, and the Hunts and the Basses in Texas. These are old economic conservatives. And they got married to the religious conservatives to provide the numbers needed to win elections. So that's the guts. You said, where does it come from? And it comes from this early marriage in the 70s between religious conservatism and economic conservatism. Economic conservatives provided the money to form all of these groups that the religious right now enjoys.
So you can even see this in the presidential campaigns, right? So the economic conservatives are supporting Mitt Romney, and the social conservatives are a bit of a fight. I think they'll all reunite in the end, and they're supporting Rick Santorum, whose ideas about women and religion are truly medieval and very strange.
13th century, absolutely.
So war has been declared by the Republicans on women.
And the Democrats,
like yourself,
coincidence, because the women's movement challenged many of the premises of the economic system, which was male dominated, which you controlled your own workforce, which you didn't have to pay for all these benefits that, quote, women get. And so the economic side didn't like women's lib any more than the religious conservatives did. It upset their hierarchy, their patriarchy.
And they had a two-tier economic system,
yeah.
So women got paid a lot less for men, and so it could make your company more profitable. And the idea that women would get equal pay for equal work was not embraced with a great deal of enthusiasm by some.
And we now have Newt Gingrich, who wants to bring back, roll back the child labor laws. Well, I mean, you can really drive down your labor costs if you're using 9, 10, 11-year-olds. You can put them into coal mines. They fit into those little holes a lot better than a grown man, so... No, it's pernicious, and it is medieval.
Let's talk about another front on the war on women, cutting Head Start programs, those child care programs, as you just alluded to, which is not necessarily a woman's issue, but certainly is related to that.
Well, it's a societal issue. I've gotten involved with the people from First Things First through a friend of mine, Pam Powell, and she's an early childhood development specialist up here at NAU. And she presents the research, and you read about the research that children's brains are formed by interaction and by experience, and those neural networks that are our brain and what make us think and understand are formed from birth to 3 years old. And if you don't enrich a child's life and those early childhood neural connections are not made, you never catch up. Children are never able to make up for that, regardless of what you do. So you must have Head Start. You must have early childhood development in order to have a population that can function.
I want to talk about another front on the war on women. Two-thirds of elderly poor women two-thirds of the elderly poor are women. Let me get that straight.
Yeah.
And the Republicans are taking aim at them, too. A spending bill that would cut funding for employment services, cut funding for meals, for housing for senior citizens.
Yeah, Meals on Wheels is gone in many cases. Yeah. There's a wonderful article a new book by Skokpol, S-K-O-K-P-O-L. I never have been able to pronounce her name, Theda Skokpol. And it identifies what is this anger from the Tea Party. And there's a train in American political thought and economic thought that there are the deserving and the undeserving. And she said what we're seeing now is an outrage by retired people who have pensions and money against the undeserving who don't work and, quote, contribute to society. And that we now see this new division within the country. We're not all in it together. There are some of us who are better than others.
It strikes me
and they don't.
That what you're hearing is, I think, liberals have sort of eased off and progressives, and we have, I think, a more compassionate understanding of human beings. We don't figure everybody's going to make exactly the right decision.
Right.
And if you make a wrong decision, we're not going to throw you in the dumpster.
Speaking of being in it together, we're almost out of time, and Joe Kelleher is going to be on next week. And you know Joe, don't you?
Oh, dear friend. Great woman.
Excellent. We have Paul Lenz coming up on Iran. We do have quite a number of shows dealing with these war on women, but we also take a diversion once in a while for a little foreign policy.
Yeah.
So March 19th, Joe Kelleher, great person, former candidate, on March 22nd, 26, Paul Lenz is going to be talking about Iran, the drumbeats for war. On April 2nd, we're going to have the Sedona Fire Board, the candidates in. After that, in April, we're going to do some more programs. We're going to have Celinda Lake. We're going to have Digby, the columnist, and hopefully Kirsten Sinema talking about the war on women.
And as always, you can find all of this on vvid.org. Our podcasts are there. If you you can listen to any of our shows, as many people do.
Yeah, and Paul Lenz will be speaking longer at the Door Breakfast this Thursday. You
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.